Welcome to Illinois Family Spotlight, a conversation about faith, family, freedom, the state of Illinois, our nation, and conservative action. Here's David Smith and Monty Larrick.
Thanks for joining Illinois Family Spotlight. I'm Monty Larrick. I'm joined by Anita Bedell with Illinois Church Action. There's a longer title.
Church Action on Alcohol and Addiction Problems.
We've got an addiction problem in the making in the form of more gambling. State lawmakers are looking at a variety of ways to expand gambling. Let's go through those, Anita, if you don't mind. First of all, they're talking more casinos once again.
Right. They want a city-owned casino in Chicago, and they want casinos in Danville, Rockford, Waukegan, South Suburbs, and in Southern Illinois.
So that's five new casinos?
Right. And in addition, they also want casinos at the racetracks.
Casinos at the racetracks. And at the existing casinos, do they, and who are they, first of all?
Well, there are 10 existing casinos spread throughout the state, and they would allow them to have more gambling positions, but those casinos don't really want any more gambling positions. What they want is internet gambling and sports wagering.
Okay, I want to get more into that, but you talked about a city-owned casino, and we've talked about this in the past. Goodness gracious, what could go wrong in Chicago?
Right, and then it just like the red light cameras and with some of the other deals that they put forth, they get some money, but in the long run, it's a losing prospect for the city of Chicago and for the state of Illinois.
And when we talk about a city-owned casino, does that mean they won't have the same kind of oversight from the state that other casinos have or will have?
They would have a casino development board, and the decisions of that board would take precedent over the gaming board. So that is something very different that we have right now.
So the system could get fixed.
Well, there could be lots of problems there. And again, if they do this, Chicago would be the only city in the nation to own a casino. So this would be first precedent for the whole country.
Doesn't this kind of send a bad message to families and kids that your city government wants to get involved in the gambling business?
Right. It's, again, the government picking the pocket of the local citizens so that they can get a small piece of the pie. And again, there's so many problems, so many costs. The costs are $3 to $7 for every dollar of revenue. So it's a losing proposition. Plus the number of individuals and families would be harmed would be just devastating for our state.
Do you have any idea where this proposed casino would be located?
Not yet. That would be the decision of the Casino Development Authority. But it could be any place. They could use private property. They could use eminent domain to obtain it. So there would be a lot of problems.
Eminent domain. They could take somebody's property away?
Absolutely.
For a casino?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
They did that in New Jersey. They took individual homes when one casino wanted to expand and needed the roadway. It is something that it is not good for the people.
Well, they're going to say, well, maybe it is good for the people. Look at the jobs it's going to create and look at the tax revenue that's going to be brought in. And by doing this, we're not going to have to raise taxes in other areas to support the needs of the public.
Well, it sounds good, but in reality, they overestimate how much revenue is going to be in. They overestimate the jobs, and the jobs are temporary. Those jobs are basically construction jobs. But once the casinos are built, then the number of employees decreases.
But they'll still have to have blackjack dealers and people like that.
Well, but they use a lot of machines now. It's not like they used to have.
Beyond a casino in Chicago, they're talking about maybe in the South Suburbs, and some of these are struggling communities.
That's correct.
So would it be safe to say that it's going to prey on poor people?
Well, if people aren't poor now, they will become poor if they lose all their money at the casinos gambling. So it's not a way for people to improve their circumstances. Most times they lose their money to the house.
You have to have a lot of losers, though, for these casinos to make enough profit.
The city and the state will get a small percentage, but the casino companies get the bulk.
Some of the casinos, existing casinos, don't want any competition. They don't want new casinos. But there are other interests to say, yeah, we want to get a casino in Chicago, Rockford, elsewhere.
That's right. They've been trying for a very long time. But the casino companies now, they want internet gambling. And the only way that they're going to let the others come in is if they get internet gambling and sports gambling, which is far worse than we have now.
Well, now they have the backing of the U.S. Supreme Court as far as sports gambling. So this is a whole new thing. The sports gambling, in a way, do you think it's even more dangerous than having a casino?
It is, because you could gamble at home. You can gamble on your smartphone or tablet. You can gamble 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Right now, you have to physically go to a casino, but you would not have to with the internet gambling.
Are there any safeguards to keep sports gambling out of the hands of kids? I'm sure they're going to say, well, this sports gambling will be only for people 21 and over, but how do you make sure that happens?
They can't. You know, someone could borrow their parents' credit card. They could gamble at home without their parents knowing. So there are really no safeguards to prevent underage gambling.
And when you talk about sports gambling, are you talking about just pro football games, boxing matches, that sort of thing? What?
They could gamble on any sporting event in the world. They can bet on college sports, amateur sports, professional sports. And it's not just on who the winner or the loser. They could continually bet throughout the game who's going to get the next kickoff. It's an unlimited amount of bets that you can make. You're betting against computer algorithms.
Anita, I think you told me once before that it's within the realm of possibility that folks could even gamble on Little League games.
That's right, because there's no control. Right now, people are betting on Little League games and amateur sports, and they just gamble on anything. And so the possibilities are unlimited, and it is very difficult for people, you know, especially athletes, because once people are gambling on athletes and there's so much money being bounced around, then many of those athletes are also being tempted to bet or throw games or shave points. So it's not something that will help sports. It's something that will hurt sports.
Could really ruin the integrity of a game.
Yes, it could.
Well, it's just not internet gambling and sports betting. They want to do fantasy sports betting, right? So what's the difference between sports betting and fantasy sports betting?
Well, the way it's set up, it could be on any type of contest or sporting event where you make up your own team. But again, it's all done with computers. There's a lot of things that could go wrong. People could lose their money very quickly on these types of bets.
That could be very addictive, I would think. You know, I love sports, and, you know, to have a little action on the game, I got to admit, it's a little appealing. So if a guy like me could be enticed by that, just think.
Right. It's especially enticing for young men, say 25 to 35, and they could get into trouble very, very quickly with this type of betting.
Where are we with this gambling legislation right now? Where is it in the legislature? Let's talk casinos first. Is there a bill going to be voted on anytime soon?
Well, that's Senate Bill 7, and it passed in the Senate two different times, and it has until January of 2019 to pass in the House. So this is something that we are watching very carefully. The internet gambling and internet fantasy sports and sports betting, those are also segments of that same bill, Senate Bill 7. So they could put it in there or they could start with a different bill. So this time between after the November election and the beginning of the inauguration in January, those are critical times when people need to call their representatives and legislators, and also watch very carefully in this election. It's important that people ask candidates, where do you stand on gambling expansion and internet gambling? Because these are the people who will be voting.
Does this gambling bill also include the prospect of more video poker machines here and there?
Yes, it does. It would increase the number of video gambling machines from 5 into 6, and they would increase the bets and increase the jackpots and have progressive jackpots. So it's a very expansive bill.
My wife was telling me she has some friends, and they were going to go to a restaurant, and these are not conservative type people that she knows through her work, but they didn't want to go to this restaurant because they have video poker. So goodness, shouldn't restaurants, et cetera, take that into account?
Yes, there are too many video gambling machines in Illinois, and people are being put off by all the advertising, by all the flags, by all the noise, and they just want to get away from it.
So you mentioned Senate Bill 7. So is this the big bill, the big gambling bill that includes casinos, fantasy betting, and sports betting, internet gambling?
That's correct.
Would this be something that could pop up in the fall veto session?
Absolutely. It sure could. We have 2 weeks in the fall session, the week before Thanksgiving and the week afterwards. And then they could also vote anytime in January before the inauguration. So there's a lot of time to put together the bill, especially with a lot of lame duck legislators that will not be coming back.
So this is a dangerous time because of these lame duck lawmakers who could get promised we can get you a job with a casino company or whatever.
Yes, they could get a lot of different jobs. And some legislators who were against gambling have already left, or they're not running for re-election, and so we're not sure who some of the new people will be. So it is a dangerous time.
So once again, folks, if they oppose gambling and what it could do to families here in Illinois, they need to be in contact now with their lawmakers.
They absolutely do, and go to candidate forums and or speak to candidates that are walking the districts to get their votes. They need to ask their position on gambling.
All right, Anita Bedell, Illinois Church Action. We'll take a quick time out and come back and talk about another subject, marijuana, on Illinois Family Spotlight.
This is an important election, and the Illinois Family Institute's nonpartisan voter guide is a reliable way to find out where the candidates stand on life, taxes, and much more.
You want to be an informed voter, and the best way to do that is with the Illinois Family Institute Voter Guide.
IFI's David Smith.
The voter guide is free. Hand them out to your family, friends.
For copies of the Illinois Family Institute Voter Guide, call 708-781-9328.
Get informed about the candidates. Get yourself a copy of the Illinois Family Institute Voter Guide.
Call 708-781-9328 for the Illinois Family Institute Voter Guide. 708-781-9328. Or visit illinoisfamily.org for an online version.
So if it's a doctor that kills you, it's okay? For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with The Point. In California, as in every other state, it's a felony to deliberately aid, advise, or encourage someone to commit suicide. The law wisely regards suicide as something to be prevented, and it punishes those who take advantage of emotionally vulnerable people. Well, at least that used to be the thinking. A bill recently signed into law in California has carved out an exception. It's now legal for children, or anyone else for that matter, to encourage vulnerable parents to avail themselves of doctor-assisted suicide. Now, of course, people considering doctor-assisted suicide are just as vulnerable as anyone else considering taking their own life. They are just as susceptible to pressure and manipulation, especially if those who are urging them to die, quote-unquote, love them. I'll say it again and again, the so-called right to die always becomes the duty to die. What's sold as compassion is a death warrant for the vulnerable among us. Shame on California. For more on faith and culture, come to breakpoint.org. I'm John Stone Street.
This is Illinois Family Spotlight. Monty Lurick here, joined by Anita Bedell with Illinois Church Action. We have been talking about gambling, the proposed expansion of gambling here in Illinois, expansion of gambling in a big way, and lawmakers could take another big step, maybe in the fall veto session, maybe in January. We're hearing in January that lawmakers could try to pass a bill that would legalize the recreational use of marijuana. We're talking high-potency form of marijuana, aren't we?
Yes, we are. It's very high in THC, which is the addiction component of the drug. And we're very concerned because when you make marijuana more accessible, you make it acceptable, you give it normalcy, then more people will use it and abuse the drug.
Well, it's only going to be for adults 21 and over.
Well, that's what they say. But look at alcohol. If you just look at alcohol, they say they're going to regulate it. They're not going to let anyone under 21 use it. But there's a huge problem of underage drinking in Illinois. Kids can get fake IDs, and the same thing would happen with marijuana.
the advocates of legalization of today's high-potency marijuana might say prohibition didn't work for alcohol, and prohibiting marijuana isn't working either.
Well, that's not true, because when you legalize a drug, more people will use it. So there will be an increase in use. Already in Colorado, which is the test case for marijuana, we have seen increases in emergency room visits. We have seen children using marijuana. We've seen an increase in drugged driving. This is very big, because they're not only driving under the influence of marijuana, they're using alcohol and marijuana together. So there's been a huge increase of accidents and crashes. So it has a lot of unintended consequences that they had not envisioned before they legalized it. And, you know, there's a difference between decriminalizing and legalizing. And Illinois already decriminalized, so someone will not be put in prison for possession of marijuana. They'll just get a fine. They've already legalized marijuana for medical purposes, for people who say they need it if they are sick. So this is the final step so that anyone can use marijuana, and it's a bad way to go.
Our friends from the pro-marijuana side are going to say, look, we're going to raise millions of dollars in taxes. We're going to create thousands of jobs. And this is just a natural product.
Well, heroin is a natural product, too, from a plant. But what they're not looking into in Colorado, less than 1% of the budget comes from the marijuana money. That they made promises that it was going to fund their schools, and it has not done that. They have not had as much money come in as they thought there would. As far as the marijuana, they said it would stop the black market. There's been an increase of illegal drug action with marijuana because people grow it in their homes. They have extra marijuana, and they've had gangs and from Russia and other countries in there with the drug business. They've turned houses into marijuana grow operations for illegal marijuana. So there's a lot of problems that are coming out of there.
And your fear is that could happen here in Illinois.
Absolutely.
Can law enforcement handle that here, given their limited resources?
Given their limited resource, it's very difficult to prosecute people for the marijuana. So it's expensive also. So it's not something that once a state legalizes it, once the money starts coming in, then the legislators don't want to go back. So once you open the door, that's where you have to stay.
And they don't want any, when I say they, the proponents, don't really want any limits on the THC level.
That's correct.
So we're talking about THC levels. This is the stuff that gets you high, right?
Right.
That could reach, what, 90%?
Well, for the dabs that you smoke, yes, it could be that high. And even the edibles, they don't have, there's no restrictions on the amount of THC in the edibles. Like one candy bar might be 10 servings, but most people don't eat just one little piece of a candy bar. They'll eat the whole thing.
I do.
Mm-hmm. So that, right, so you're getting more, you would get more marijuana than you had planned on.
Mm-hmm. My goodness. And the edibles, they look like candy. So if you've got this laying around your house, mm-hmm. little Johnny or little Susie is going to pick this up and eat it.
That's right. They even have gum, suckers, candy bars. They have infused soda, infused water with THC in it. So products that, you know, everyday people would use now are going to have marijuana. You're going to have to be very careful of what you drink and what you pick up.
This sounds like the elixirs of years gone by, the carny shows and what have you.
Like the snake oil salesman. That's right. That's what a lot of this seems to be like.
Well, you mentioned we started out with legalizing marijuana for medical use.
Correct.
Okay. And then they expanded what's covered under that. Mm-hmm. So it's growing now, isn't it?
It sure is, especially Senate Bill 336 that the governor just signed into law would allow anyone with an opioid prescription or someone who could be prescribed an opioid could use marijuana instead. And that's huge because it's for pain.
So we started with medical marijuana, and now they've decriminalized it already. and now they want outright legalization of recreational marijuana. So this is the way they operate, right?
That's right. Problem is young people will begin to use it. And the problem with young people is that they could have mental health issues with it and brain damage from it. And the state already has so many problems with mental health that they can't fund right now. So adding to this problem, to the cost and to the devastation of young people, you know, if the young people can't work and if their minds are harmed, then this also impacts the future of our state.
Impacts the future of our state. But, you know, I think a lot of people have this notion, it's just marijuana. What's the big deal? We've touched on this, but really stressed the fact that, no, this is high potency stuff.
Yes, it is. It's not what they had in the 70s. It's 3 to 5 times higher. So there's more damage and more addiction. And people just, they lose their ability to work. Some of them will also become violent from it. So it's much, much different than the people advertise it.
Well, what's next? If they legalize recreational marijuana, could heroin be next on the legalization tote board or cocaine? What?
Well, those that want to legalize marijuana want to legalize all drugs. So that is a danger.
Really?
That is their plan, is to legalize all drugs.
Legalize all drugs. Mm-hmm. Surely that's not going to be good for Illinois.
Not good for the country, not good for the state, not good for families.
What's the bill that we need to be worried about for marijuana? Is there one particular bill, or are there a couple out there?
No, they're waiting until after the next year to. They had a bill, but they wanted to change it. So it could be a different number, and we just don't know right now.
So this election really matters. If you oppose more casinos, more gambling, and if you oppose the legalization of today's high-potency marijuana, you better vote and be an informed voter.
Absolutely, because it does make a difference who the governor is and who the legislators are. So that's why it's important for people to contact candidates and go to forums and ask the hard questions.
And Illinois Family Institute has a nonpartisan voter guide that does let you folks know where the candidates stand on gambling, the expansion of gambling, and the legalization of marijuana. So if I'm a parent, what should I be telling my kids about this marijuana? What should voters be telling their lawmakers about this?
Well, if I was a parent, I would be telling my children how harmful it can be, and I would be setting a good example and not using illegal drugs or legal drugs to an extreme, like they're not supposed to be used.
And for lawmakers, they need to get a message too.
The lawmakers need to know that you were opposed to the legalization of marijuana and tell them that you will be voting.
Do you see this as a moral issue, that maybe pastors need to be saying something about this from the pulpit?
I look at it as a public health issue, and I think pastors need to say something and inform the congregations, because a lot of times all that gets out are those who want to legalize it, and they minimize the harm and exaggerate the revenue, and people get confused. So I think it's important for the church to let their people know what's going on.
All right. Thank you, Nita Bedell with Illinois Church Action. Nita, if folks want to help Illinois Church Action out, or they want more information about your organization, how can they do that?
They can call us at 217-546-6871, or they can go to our website, www.ilcaap.org.
All right, thank you so much. God bless you, and God bless the work of Illinois Church Action. Monty Larrick here on Illinois Family Spotlight. A reminder, the Illinois Family Institute voter guides are now available. You can just give our office a call at 708-781-9328. You can get a copy or a whole stack of copies of the voter guides. They're free, they're easy to use, and you can even take them right into your voting booth. Ask your pastor. He might even let you pass them out of church because they're nonpartisan. Please support the work of the Illinois Family Institute. All donations are tax deductible. Until next time, God bless.
Thank you for listening to Illinois Family Spotlight. For more information, please visit us at ifiaction.org and look for us on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to email us questions or comments, please do so at feedback@ifiaction.org. Until next time, stay engaged and keep your eyes on the prize.